I have had a fantastic week being here with you. I cannot tell you how much fun it's been to meet you and have dinner with you, potluck with you, converse with you, ask questions, answer questions, back and forth. It's just been amazing. I can also tell you that I'm looking forward to some sleep. Getting my voice back. I usually do not go out on Saturday night, but it was a lot of fun. And I am just delighted. And I have so many ideas. Our theme today is, what do you do with an idea? And I have an idea that we could be great. I also like to build whatever we do with a sense of direction. So this morning, I'm going to frame my reflection on a little snippet that happens in the book Alice in Wonderland, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Anybody read that when you were little, or maybe even as adult? Well, it comes from chapter 6, and it's pretty awesome if you ask me. But in this exchange, you have Alice and the Cheshire Cat. Anybody a cat person here? Yeah. Okay, so you have Alice and the cat. Alice begins, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" The cat responds, "That depends a good deal on where you want to go." Now, I'm aware that congregations have these conversations too. Which way should we go? What do we want? On rare occasion, the answer just appears. But I'm betting if this congregation is like other congregations, the answer is, "Oh, let's have more conversation," or "Let's form a committee." You know, sometimes you just never seem to get anywhere. But back in Wonderland, Alice resumes the conversation as she ponders, where is she going? "I don't much care where," says Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," says the cat. Now, when congregations wonder about direction, the most popular answer, and even if it's unspoken, is, "Let's just keep talking about it. We're having a lot of fun doing that." But actually, here's a translation. Ideas are nice, but we're comfortable, and besides, we've always done it that way. Anybody ever said that or thought that? But Alice insists that she has direction. She says, "As long as I get somewhere." So the cat responds, "Oh, sure, you can do that. Only if you walk long enough." Now, I'm aware that First UU has been doing some walking. You've had more direction than Alice had in her journey, and you've been intentional in your time of transition. You've said farewell to a beloved minister. You've welcomed an intern, an interim. You've surveyed, studied, and searched. And now you're on the cusp of a new era at First UU. But where are you going? Back in February, at the end of a very long day of interviewing during pre-candidating week, I was asked one last question. I don't think it was in the script, and Judy, the search chair, just kind of tossed it out there. And she said, "What do you see for the future of First UU?" Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What do you see as the future? I thought the question was brilliant. The many hours of questions and conversations going over the course of the weekend and that full day of interviews were pretty routine and interesting, but they were kind of standard, and some had technical answers, and they were excellent. But this one question, what do you see in our future, was about vision. That's in a whole different class of questions. And I was very excited to hear it. The question kind of asked me to peer into a crystal ball. What do you see in our future? Imagine where we might go from here. And unlike Wonderland, where Alice just wanted to go somewhere, anywhere, I had an idea. And I told the search committee that I saw two possibilities for the future of First UU. First, the church could keep on being awesome. You're wonderful. You could continue along the same path. Everyone is friendly and happy and engaged. And most things work well most of the time. And you keep on going just basically as you have been. You just keep it going, right? That's one vision. That would be really good. But if we were actually asking Garrison Keillor that and describing that first answer from his fictional town of Lake Wobegon, he might have described First UU as where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average. Life would be just interesting enough to offer a story or two, but nothing too upsetting or startling. And every week, you would come back and your friends would be here, the choir would be singing, and life would be so good. That's one vision. And it's a fine place to be, fine place for a church to be. Your path forward to the future would meander on, and it would be satisfying. But in that crystal ball, when I looked into it, I had an idea. I saw another option for the future of First UU. So combining my answer that I gave to the search committee that day, along with what I've seen and experienced this week, let's give this one a try. First of all, I see a great big banner with First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus in really big letters. And right under there, I see putting love at the center. And love is in capital letters. Putting love at the center. Now, I know you've been working on your mission statement and you've done a lot of work for it, and you're actually putting love at the center of your mission statement. That's incredible. So I invite us to claim it, to claim it. The Peace Pals, who was here last Sunday? The Peace Pals, oh, they were so wonderful, but they sang about this. Here's some of their words. Creating community, working for justice, engaging diversity with love at the center. And in the chorus, the Peace Pals told us what to do. Put love into action. Oh, put love into action. With love at the center, put love into action. And they were great. But what does this look like? What does this look like? Here's my observation. First UU Columbus is the largest Unitarian Universalist congregation in Ohio. Did you know that? You're the largest. Columbus is the largest city. It's also the state capital. And you're in the center. You're a blue city, mostly, in a red state. That tells me there are many opportunities. I imagine an Ohio together with First UU as the hub, and you can spell that with two U's in the middle if you like to. But I imagine First UU Columbus as the hub of working together in Ohio, where we connect Unitarian Universalists all across this state. It doesn't matter which district or region they're lopped off into. We have business to do right here in this state. Now, I'm aware that we have a lot of efforts going on out there, and I would like to build on those, to build on what we're already doing well, and help First UU claim not only its size, but its location and its potential. I look forward to expanding opportunities and leadership, including networking on the ministerial level all across this state. I want all of our congregations to be strong. There are so many challenges in this world, much more than we can face alone. We can do so much more when we work together. On his journey, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. looked out over the mountaintop, and he invoked the Hebrew prophet Amos when he preached that he saw a land where justice flowed down like waters, like an ever-flowing stream. Now, King called out injustice, but he knew that we had to work together to make change happen. Beloved community didn't just happen because you dreamed about it. It didn't just happen because it was a nice idea. You actually had to work for it. Imagine that. You had to work for what you want. We can call out injustice, and I can preach it from the pulpit, but we also need to call us in. We had a workshop this week on Friday night about calling us in, calling us in. We need to speak not only to each other, but with each other. We all need to be in the conversation. We need to find a way to keep the conversation, the communication channels open. If all we do is shout and point fingers like you, or it should be, then if we find ourselves on that mountaintop, we'll look around and we'll be all alone. In my experience, we have to do the hard work together. We have to call each other in. We have to stay at the table. We have to do the hard work. Now, justice can be rewarding. I do a lot of that work myself. But I also know that it can be tiring. Have you ever noticed, especially now, the issues just keep coming? Does anybody just feel like worn out from so much? Yeah, so we have to find what we can do. But the work is even more tiring if you're not grounded, spiritually grounded. And that's what we do here. Justice work for the long haul is an outgrowth of spiritual depth. What is it that calls us? What is it that speaks to our hearts? What is it that drives us to do the work? It's not because you signed up on a mailing list or showed up for a meeting or even did clicktivism when you just said yes to an online petition. Something inside spoke to you, grabbed you, caught your imagination, and made you want to help, made you want to be engaged, made you want to act. Our work together is based on each of us knowing ourselves, our own selves, deeply in a spiritual kind of way. Rosabeth Moss Cantor, who is a Harvard professor and sociologist who was born in Cleveland, wrote this: "A vision is not just a picture of what could be. It is an appeal to our better selves, a call to become something more. In church, we practice becoming the people we want to be. We practice becoming the world we want to see, because it is love that we put into action, and we know it begins with us. We take our victories, large and small. We see progress being made. Nehemiah Action this week was amazing. Anybody go to that? There's some, yeah. That was powerful. And you guys are a part of that. But truth be told, some days the victory is just showing up. Just showing up right here on Sunday mornings. Do you ever feel like that's a victory? Mm-hmm. I see happy and proud parents dropping their kids off back here or in class or whatever and then collapsing into a chair. I see elders filled with wisdom, putting great effort into making it down the aisle to find a seat. And I see people in personal crisis putting forth every ounce of energy just to be present. I also see people who have been overlooked or marginalized, just like Shakespeare's proverbial sister in our reading. Many people have been overlooked or dismissed. You are here too, and we're glad you're here. These are the victories of community. Look around. Do we see each other? Do we see? In my crystal ball, I see us taking time to greet someone who isn't just like us, who you might not meet anywhere else. I hear us listening to each other. I hear us dropping our preconceived conclusions as we listen without judgment, and then maybe we share a bit of our own story in return. We do have a lot in common. We're human, after all. I invite you to make a connection, because sometimes the work of justice is doing love right here within these walls. Now, back in Wonderland, if Alice was still trying to figure out the roadmap for the journey and the Cheshire Cat was still in the conversation, then I imagine their next lines might go like this. Alice ventures, maybe somewhere is in the heart. And the cat responds, yes, love is where all destinations begin and end. Oh, Alice says, the journey to everywhere is as wide as it is deep. Yes, says the cat, and that is how love gets in. I see love as an acronym. Now, that would be love with capital letters, just like those gorgeous yellow shirts that look so good on everyone, with a big love across the front. I see love as standing for something else. I see love as standing for living our values every day. How about that? Love, living our values every day. Now, I bet we could tell that to someone on the street who was a little confused. And this week, I have experienced a lot of that love. I've met with so many of you once, twice, and sometimes around every corner. You have been wonderful, and I look forward to being with you for a long time to come. So raise your hand if I've seen you during the week. Raise your hand, put your hands, raise your hands if I've seen you more than once, or you've seen me more than once, multiple times. It's been amazing, and I appreciate your graciousness, and also your patience. There's 600 of you, there's one of me, and that means there are a lot of names to learn. But I have to tell you that one of the highlights of this week was a meeting with our youth group. They're fantastic. You guys do a great job of being a village for our young people. They are amazing. I was really pleased also to have a youth up here helping us with the service today. I love to see all ages, genders, and diversity up here up front because this is who we are. But when I met with a youth group the other night, or just yesterday it was, We ate pizza and we sat on those big comfy sofas. And I asked some questions and they had some great answers. I learned a lot and, you know, we just went back and forth. But at the end I asked them, so what can I do for you? As your senior minister, what can I do for you as a youth group, as young people? And they thought a moment, and then they had a couple answers. Come talk with us. We'd love to see you. We have questions. We'd love to hear your answers. We'd love you to hear us. But then the real question came. When you come to see us, will you bring cookies? Of course I will. I will bring all the cookies you want. This is how we do community. This is how we do love. This is how we live our values every day, all ages, all genders, all diversities, everything, every way, every day. I look forward to walking through the next few years, a lot of years, I hope, with you. Let love be at our center. Blessed be, and amen.